This session is called Trying. From a young age, we are taught that effort is a symbol of success. We hear it everywhere, literally around every corner. Anyone who puts in the effort will succeed. This weighty statement has followed us through every stage of our lives, from kindergarten, where teachers praised us for every attempt to draw a circle that always looked like a potato, to adulthood, when effort becomes a kind of invisible measure of our character. "You're trying, so you're a good person," society tells us with unsparing emphasis. And so we try. We try first to be the best student. We try to be an exemplary employee. We strive to be the perfect partner, friend, parent, and maybe even pet if need be. Because, after all, effort leads to recognition and success, doesn't it? But I have to confess to you that a thought has passed through my life that contradicts all this. And that thought is, less. Try less. Yes, you heard that right. Less effort. Strange, isn't it? Admitting something like that can almost sound like blasphemy. But let me explain a little. This sentence sounds radical, maybe even a little absurd at first look. But feel free to repeat it out loud and let it resonate in your head for a moment. Do you feel a little dizzy? That's okay. Now let's look into my practice for a moment. I lead coaching, workshops, training, supporting people on their personal and professional journey. And you know what's interesting? At least once in a while, I get someone who, from the beginning to the end of our meeting, talks about how hard they are trying, how they sacrifice a ton of energy every day to move forward, to get things done, to not let others or themselves down. But at the same time, and this is important, his words also convey a great exhaustion, a great weariness from the endless pushing of the saw that has long since lost its edge. And I tell them one single paradoxical fact. Maybe you are trying too hard. Because trying too hard often leads to a very strange phenomenon. Instead of a solution, you are far away from the result. Do you know what it looks like? Imagine a situation where you want to open a jar of jam. You try, you push, you pop the lid, you get red in the face, you call for help from the neighbor, the whole family, and maybe the dog, but the lid just sticks like a glove. Then a calm next-door neighbor comes over, leans the jar on the table, turns it with a gentle motion, and voila, it's open. And you're standing there with your mouth wide open thinking, "How?" Well, that's just it. The calm neighbor tried less, and that allowed him to find a more effective solution. Your excessive strength and effort may have given you great biceps, but it certainly didn't give you results. Now back to life situations. Many people believe that if they want something badly, they have to sacrifice absolutely everything and go after it with the greatest possible effort. Didn't that hurt? Then you're probably not trying hard enough, they tell themselves. But what if that constant effort is more likely to close their eyes to other possibilities? What if the fact that you're always pushing on one door is just your own blindness and it's not pulling you anywhere? Maybe instead of pushing, all you need to do is stop for a moment, look around and see that the right door is already waiting open right next to you. You just have the key in your pocket, but in the frenzy of trying, you forgot it was even there. You know those magical moments when you give up on something and it suddenly comes to you? Maybe you've been thinking all night about how to solve a problem at work. Your brain is humming like a steam engine and the solution is nowhere to be found. Then you decide you're going to drop everything and go to sleep. And behold, you wake up in the morning and the answer is on your tongue. That's no coincidence, my friends. That's the power of less moments. Effort has its place, of course. It's just that when you overdo it, your brain gets to the point where it can't think creatively. It's like a gearbox that's almost burnt out by revving too high. The key is not to try. The key is to find a balance. So if someone ever told you that you should try harder because you won't be anything without it, breathe. Maybe that's not true. Maybe you just need to stop pushing and start thinking. Maybe effort isn't about how much sweat and energy you expend, but how smartly you apply it where it counts. Remember, even slackers sometimes come up with their best ideas completely by accident, like when they're relaxing on the couch. And you know what the best part is? Following the couch is a great way to initiate productive reflection. Welcome to the adventurous world of transactional analysis. This amazing concept is not just a simple psychological note, but literally a living, breathing breath that can help us understand why we do what we do and what we can actually do about it. Have you heard of parent, adult, and child? I suppose you have, after all. Who would want to miss such an inspiring topic, right? You may also have come across the term truths of our inner parent, those inner do's and don'ts that sometimes act like a traffic light. Stop here, go there. This is where a concept called drivers, as world-renowned psychologist Tybee Collar named them in 1974, comes into play. We're talking about five powerful strategies that have entered our brains and behavior based on childhood experiences. Kaler defined five basic drivers that can determine how we react in different situations. Here is a detailed description of these drivers and what they represent. Basic driver number one, be perfect. This driver expresses the need to strive for excellence and high standards in everything we do. It is associated with the feeling that we can never be good enough. Individuals who are influenced by this driver often try to avoid mistakes and shortcomings, putting pressure on themselves because they think that mistake means failure. As a consequence, they are more prone to stress, anxiety, and frustration because reality rarely matches the perfect picture. Basic driver number two, be strong. This driver focuses on the need to be resilient and independent. People with this driver are often hesitant to express their emotions and weaknesses. Their goal is to show strength and the ability to cope without the help of others. This driver can lead to isolation, both from others and from their own emotions. It often manifests as an inability to ask for help or share vulnerabilities. Basic driver number three, be quick. This driver implies the need to react quickly and be efficient. Its bearers are often in a hurry in everything they do. Individuals try to avoid procrastination and are afraid of missing opportunities. The pressure to be quick can lead to fatigue and stress. There is often a lack of attention to the quality of results, a feeling of exhaustion, and constant hustle. Basic driver number four, be nice. This driver focuses on the need to be accepted and have good relationships with others. We think about what people think of us and try to please them. It is an effort to avoid conflict and to secure acceptance or approval from others. It can lead to suppressing one's own needs and feelings, increasing the risk of frustration and dissatisfaction. Basic driver number five, be acceptable. This driver seeks to be accepted by others and conform to society's expectations. People with this driver tend to strive to be normal and avoid situations in which they might be rejected. This can lead to people feeling like puppets trying to meet others' expectations, which undermines their self-confidence and authenticity. How to use these drivers? Consider which of these drivers influences your behavior the most. What situations activate them? Write down how often you encounter them in your daily life and think about where this driver may have first appeared in your life and what caused it. Think about how you can use the drivers positively to your advantage. For example, if you realize that be perfect often stresses you out, work on accepting imperfections as part of your journey. Step 1. Seek support. Involve people you trust in the change process. Share your thoughts and feelings and find out how others are dealing with the drivers. You can give each other support and share strategies that work. Step 2. Work on acceptance. Learn to accept your emotions and weaknesses. If, for example, the be strong driver makes you suppress your feelings, try to set aside time each day to process them. You can try journaling or taking notes to acknowledge what you're really feeling and why you're feeling it. Step 3. Make a plan and experiment. Make small changes to help you overcome the negative impacts of each driver. For example, when you come across be polite, try standing up for your needs sometimes. For example, I need to rest. I won't be at your party today. Step 4. Practice active listening. When communicating with others, focus on active listening. This will allow you to stay in touch with your emotions and the feelings of others and help you better understand the dynamics of your relationships. Step 5. Reflection and evaluation. Regularly reflect on how each driver is present in your life and how it influences your behavior and decision-making. Write down what you have managed to change and what you still need to explore. These drivers, also called engines or burners of our energy, were born as protective mechanisms. In childhood and teenage years, they served as a response to the demands of the surroundings. We simply adapted to what our parents, teachers, or even our grandmother with archaic life lessons expected of us. And yes, it helped us survive back then. But unfortunately, we carry some of these mechanisms into adulthood and apply them where they are not quite needed anymore, and instead of going along with them, they become our dictators. And that, my friends, is becoming quite an unfortunate story. And now, let me make a small interjection. Drivers are not the enemy. Not at all. They can even be your best friends if you know how to use them, like a powerful tool, like a hammer. Great if you're hammering nails. Slightly problematic if you want to peel onions with it. And that's the same with a driver. The B-strong driver, for example, is fantastic at dealing with crisis situations, and people who have this trait under control are invaluable in professions like doctors or firefighters. But just try applying be strong to your relationship. The chances of the other partner starting to feel rejected are on the table. Similarly, the please others driver is great for caregivers, but ask yourself what your constant need to please others is doing to your own comfort. I'm guessing not great. So where's the problem? When the drivers take the reins and we become slaves to these beliefs, we get tangled up in them like flies in a spider's web, and instead of moving forward, we face frustration, burnout, or plainly and simply collapse. Today, I am honored to introduce you to the driver. Try, one of the most interesting drivers. You know that feeling when you're trying to do multiple things at once, yet everything is chaotic? Or have you ever made a promise you couldn't keep, and yet somehow, miraculously, you tried to do the impossible? Then you've probably experienced the try driver on. And believe me, you're not alone. Typical manifestations of this driver include constantly asking questions, repeating the answer, I don't know, and then digging through your plans and tasks that seem messier than the bottom drawer of your kitchen counter. And you know what the best part is? Driver try often helps us to be active. It motivates us. But motivation can have a dark side. If the driver controls us instead of us controlling it, it only leads to frustration and exhaustion. And now, a personal experience. My curse. Panic planning. That uncontrollable desire to have everything perfectly planned, down to the last detail. Unfortunately, every overextended effort has a breaking point, that moment when all those must-do lists cause only one thing, the feeling that you can't do anything. From trying to a state of complete passivity, when it all builds up, the first stage of passivity comes, doing nothing. The problem is that it's not the pleasant doing nothing when you throw your feet on the table and sip your coffee with a smile. No, no. It's the kind of doing nothing where you remain inactive, but your mind runs through a list of unfinished tasks. And what's worse? Many people are not discouraged by this and move into the second stage of passivity known as agitation. There's quite a spiral here. Constant questions like, why is this happening to me? Or, why am I like this? What's the result? No progress, just exhaustion. One psychologist asked participants in his lecture to try to sit in a chair, but not quite. How did it turn out? Embarrassing and amusing, of course. Except that's exactly what driver try is, an effort at an activity that will not lead to any concrete result. Let's discuss the concept of passivity. When we hear the word, we may conjure up an image of a couch, popcorn, and a pile of unfinished tasks. But be warned, I have to stop you there. Passivity in transactional analysis terms is in no way synonymous with laziness. Not at all. In fact, it's a clever defense of our deeply held beliefs. Now hold on. Those beliefs often don't help us. In some cases, they are even as outdated as videotapes. But then why do we hold on to them? Because they make us feel safe. It's like grandma's old sweater. It may not have the right cut anymore. It may have created its own holes in unexpected places. But still, its presence on our shoulders gives us a kind of strangely cozy feeling. But the problem with this mindset is that it can trap us. We try. We make huge efforts, only to have it all come to nothing in the end. Does that mean we're doing something wrong? Not exactly. It's just that all this effort gives us the illusion of activity, when in reality it keeps us in the same place, like the tracks of a cruise ship going around the same route over and over again. And we consistently avoid taking real, meaningful steps toward change. Does that make sense? There are more of us who have experienced this invisible wheel firsthand, and believe me, it's not much fun. Does this mean that the solution is to write off all efforts? Pretty please, no, no way. We don't need to throw effort out the window like old furniture at spring cleaning. We need to redirect it, gently show it how and where it belongs, and sometimes just let it rest in a corner. That doesn't mean we give up. It means we have to learn to try a little less. And now you may be thinking, that's nonsense. If I try less, nothing will change, and if I want something, I have to push forward. I'm familiar with this reasoning because our culture has trained us to do it so well since kindergarten. But now, try to stop yourself for a moment and ask, is anything changing now that I'm trying so incredibly hard? If the answer is no, you may have come to the conclusion yourself, based on your final notepad, that the pressure exerted may look like momentum, but in reality, it may be keeping us exactly where we are. This whole overpressure thing is not just about what we do, our daily actions. This over-effort is also very well hidden in our minds. Along with it, there are those urgent and sometimes relentless thoughts that tell us that we have to be the best. We have to succeed. We have to get it done quickly and perfectly every time, in every situation. These thoughts are like hungry hyenas. As long as we accept them without question, we will keep running in circles and under unwanted pressure. This is where our adult enters the picture. And no, I don't mean the strict voice urging us to stop watching Netflix immediately and start working on our to-do list. I mean our conscious and determined selves that can transcend the situation. It sees things as they are, right here, right now. What's more, it can assess that some of our fears or beliefs are no longer real. But it doesn't mean giving up trying completely. That would be a naive shortcut. It means stepping off the express train for a moment, taking a deep breath, and realizing whether you are currently working efficiently or just following the internal command, I must work harder. So how do we harness our efforts while relieving ourselves of unwanted pressure? I have some playful but effective tips for you. Start with a 1-minute break. Do you feel overwhelmed by the need to do something right away? Wait a second. There's no bomb going off. No, seriously, it usually doesn't. Give yourself the luxury of stopping and just being for a while. Feel the itch to do something right now? Congratulations! You've just hit your inner driver, known as try. Reduce your efforts by 10%. Do a heavy-duty, slightly less experiment. And take careful note of the remarkable result. No dragon appears that you have to defeat. On the contrary, your surroundings may not even notice that you've cut back. And you? Well, you will feel relief. Accept good enough. Have you completed the task? Great. Now leave it. Don't try to redo it again and upgrade it to God among tasks. Good enough is good enough. It's not a sign of underestimation, but a healthy self-reflection that enough is enough. To indicate the exact rest is not weakness. It is a heroic act of the adult. Let's dive into the practical part. I've put together a set of questions to help you find your driver and help you figure out where it originated. Work with your diary and write down everything you realize. It's something that can open up a different perspective on the world and on yourself. Be perfect. The exercise consists of analyzing situations where you are trying to achieve perfection. Note down specific examples where the need to be perfect has affected you. When did you first feel the pressure to be perfect? What situations triggered it? What was your relationship to performance and evaluation in your childhood? What specific moments led you to believe you had to be perfect? What words or phrases did your parents or teachers often say to you about performance? How did you react when you made mistakes in your childhood? Do you feel it is safe for you to show weakness in front of others? Why yes or why no? How does your desire for excellence show up in your daily life? What disadvantages does this need bring? How does it affect your health or relationships? What would your life look like if you accepted the fact that you don't have to be perfect? What small steps can you take to relieve the pressure to be perfect? Be strong. Focus on situations where you have forbidden yourself to show weakness. Consider what thoughts are holding you back from accepting emotions. What were your earliest memories of trying to show strength? What influence did your family values have on your perception of weakness? When was the last time you stopped listening to your feelings and suppressed them? What patterns of behavior have you built up to cover up your vulnerabilities? How do the people around you react to your need to be strong? What situations sometimes prevent you from asking for help? What feelings do you experience when you keep all your emotions inside? What does this desire for strength really give you, and what does it take away? How would you respond if you had to allow yourself more vulnerability? What do you think would give you a better balance between strength and vulnerability? Be quick. Reflect on how you feel under the pressure of the rush. When did you first experience the urge to act quickly? How did your family view efficiency and work performance? How do you feel when you have to react quickly? What thoughts run through your mind when you feel pressured? What situations frustrate you the most and make you feel ineffective? When was the last time you can remember a situation where you felt you had to move quickly? What consequences does this pressure to perform bring to you? What negatives does rushing bring to the quality of your work or life? How could you incorporate more leisure into your activities? What steps can you take to avoid constant rushing? Be nice. The demands of being nice and pleasing others can be exhausting. Use this exercise to see how it affects you. What are your memories of when you felt you had to be nice at all costs? How did the people around you react to that? Do they expect this behavior? How do you feel when you try to please others and suppress your own needs? What feelings does the lack of recognition or thanks for your efforts evoke? When was the last time you suppressed your needs to please others? What effect do the habits associated with this driver have on your relationships? Do you feel you have the time to stand up for yourself in situations where you need to? How would you respond if you prioritized your own needs and wants? What would you like to change to build healthier interpersonal relationships? How might you suggest your feelings to partners or friends? Be acceptable. This driver focuses on the desire to be accepted by others. What situations make you feel like you need to be accepted by others? When did you first feel the need to fit in? How do you react when you feel you might be rejected? What do you think of yourself when you try to meet the expectations of others? Do you engage in comparison with others? How does this affect your self-confidence? What are your actual preferences, and how do they differ from what you do to please others? How do you feel when you dare to be authentic and real? What would you like to do differently to express yourself? When was the last time you said no to something that didn't suit you? How did that make you feel? How would you like to adjust the way you express your desire for acceptance? Is there anything you are afraid of? This exercise will help you better understand and explore each of the five drivers and their impact on your life. Become aware of where these needs come from and how they influence your behavior. Answer all the questions for each driver. You can discover your strengths and weaknesses, and through this, create a better picture of yourself and the plan you need to become who you want to be. Again, I urge you to write everything down. Good luck.